coming up.
I think for a wedding it would be rather marvellous, actually.
Darth Vader in the house.
Who's a hear dat?
He doesn't go up your nose, then.
So that would be awful, what you're describing.
I'm waiting for the day when I do a particularly good read.
Yes, or a particularly bad one.
I'm thinking that I have no clue what a boggart is.
I'd have been a lighter woman altogether.
I'm a bit banjaxed by this.
There's a film script there.
The joy of being in your 50s. You'll get there one day.
I always move whilst recording. It really helps me to kind of guide myself and pace myself.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. This is Mark Rice.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. He's my co-host.
Yes, and that's Sam Boffin, my co-host.
Hello. Just in case you've never tuned in before, this is what we do every week.
Where have you been? We ask ourselves and a special guest the question, how do you say that? And we answer it by reading some scripts out loud together.
Because there isn't just one way to read a script. There are lots of different ways. Mm-hmm. So, Mark, bit of true or false.
Yeah, okay.
I have a chandelier over my bed. Is that true or is that false?
I have no idea, but I would love to believe it is true. You live in a beautiful, older style house. And yeah, I think you might have a chandelier.
I do. It's a very little one, it has to be said. It's a very little chandelier. But I love it so much because, as you know, but the listeners might not, I do so much work sitting on my bed.
Yes, you do, don't you?
That is my absolute favourite place. If I'm not recording, I'm generally speaking doing work sitting on my bed.
Wow, nice.
So I look at that chandelier a lot.
Well, Sam, my true or false is, you know how much I hate driving? But yes. About 15 years ago, I was asked to take my HGV licence and test. So that was about 15 years ago. True or false?
Oh my God, you're such a good driver because I've driven with you. Although that would be more about... I say yes, you have an HGV licence.
Don't be silly. The thought of driving something huge terrifies me. No, I can barely drive a car, love.
Oh, you're a good driver.
Oh, only because I'm extra careful because I don't like it. Oh, well. Well, of course, we also have a very special guest with us. Voice actor Luik Taylor. Hello, Luik. Welcome
Hello,
to How Do You
guys.
Say That?
Thank you.
So good to have you along. Sam, let's find out a little bit more about Luik, shall we?
Yes, Luik is a voiceover and a voice actor with a decade of experience in Flemish and English. He also works as a casting director and a project manager at Voice Productions, where he has been active at Voice Productions for over 4 years.
Yes, well, his voice has been featured in campaigns for Amazon, Haribo and other major brands. He's passionate about the industry. He actively advocates for voiceover rights through Belva. Luik specialises in commercials, corporate narration and dubbing. Welcome along. Do you have a fun fact for us, Luik?
I do have a fun fact. Do either of you know what a nose flute is?
See, I think I do.
I don't know. No, I'm not sure what a nose flute is.
It's a tiny little instrument, and I got one from my best friend when we were about 14. He bought one for himself and one for me.
Right.
So there's two holes, basically, and you've got one for your nose, where you blow air through by your nose,
right,
and then the other one you put your lips over, so you open your mouth, and then changing the size of your mouth changes the tone. I'll play you a little bit.
Please do, absolutely.
Please do. It doesn't go up your nose then.
No. You just blow the air through your nose. That would be awful what you're describing. It's like
I was really worried.
It's a nose flute and at the same time a full frontal lobotomy. So here we go. That's it.
It's like a swanny whistle for the nose.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I love it.
We need a picture of you.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Definitely
yes,
need
please.
A picture.
I'll send one over, yeah.
Absolutely.
Must.
That's definite.
That's, so
that's
cool.
Definitely going in the socials for this episode. Absolutely. Well, what on earth can I say after that? As we get fluty with our nostrils, let's have a look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
Sam, it looks like you might have brought us a story or a drama or a kid's story. I'm not entirely sure what this is this week.
It is a story. It's a story within a story.
I'm thinking that I have no clue what a boggart is. Because I should say this, because I was raised in English by my stepfather in Belgium.
And you're in Brussels right now, aren't you?
I'm in Brussels right now, yeah, but I grew up in Ghent. But my English is very much limited to what he taught me in 2005. So yeah. I grew up on Alo Alo and Fawlty Towers and all of those things.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. But yeah. Some words like boggart, I think, like, yeah. What's this?
So a boggart is basically a shape-shifting, magical, shape-shifting, mischievous being.
It's the kind of monster that you'd expect to find in Roald Dahl as well.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
That
okay.
kind of thing. Was there any particular accent?
Well, it's up to you.
Okay.
It was a character within the story who told this story.
Right, okay, so it's a character within the story that's telling this story. Oh, okay,
yes.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
All right, well, I'll give it a go. That gives me an idea, but okay. I'm going to try not to go too far over the top with it. I'll try. There was a farmer who had a boggart in his barn. As boggarts go, this one was fairly old and liked the quiet life. So as long as the farmer left some food, the old creature didn't see the need to cause too much trouble. Occasionally it would chase the chickens out of the coop or move all the tools and hide them amongst the corn. It was still a boggart after all, and they do like to play tricks. Now the farmer had a daughter who was beautiful. Like to play tricks almost as much as the boggart.
Nice.
Very nice.
And fascinating, because you're very close to the, I mean, that is the accent that the original guy has. And as a consequence, that is the one he uses.
Good.
Absolutely.
That was a good guess then.
So that was a really good guess.
Kind of West Country-ish. Yeah. Mm. But it could be almost any accent, I would have thought, telling that kind of tale.
Yeah. Absolutely, it could be. And it's just that suited that particular person in that particular story. But it could be anyone.
I tried to put myself in almost BFG territory, Roald Dahl BFG territory. Do you know what I mean?
When you were saying it, I was thinking like, oh, there's so much more to what's going on here. And I wanted to know, what came before this and what's going to come after this? That was kind of it feels like you're really... You're pushed into the middle of this story, and I was wondering, what's the rest of the story going to be like?
So the context is that this character who is telling the story is a fable teller.
Oh.
And he has got a lot of people in a big old kitchen.
Ah.
This is his party piece, if you like.
Yep.
He tells stories every week, and all of the people in this particular house have gathered together in the kind of old kitchen.
Yep.
And they are listening to him. So they're all very excited and listening to his story.
So to me, it could have been bigger then, because it was a character within the story within the story.
It could have been way bigger almost. If this, it's this guy's like one moment a week to shine.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
And everyone's looking at him, and he could. Because at times I thought, maybe it's a bit quick.
Oh, that's my story all over, Louis. I'm a bit quick. Yes, absolutely. I'd love to see what you do with it, though.
Okay, I'll give it a go. There was a farmer who had a boggart in his barn. As boggarts go, this one was fairly old and liked the quiet life. So as long as the farmer left some food... The old creature didn't see the need to cause too much trouble. Occasionally, it would chase the chickens out of the coop, or move all the tools and hide them amongst the corn. It was still a boggart after all, and they do like to play tricks. Now, the farmer had a daughter who was beautiful and liked to play tricks. Almost as much as the boggart.
Nice.
Were you waving your arms around there, Louis? I felt like you were a storyteller that was becoming quite animated telling the story.
I was.
Yeah, I could tell.
I'm a very... Yes. I always move whilst recording. It really helps me to kind of guide myself and pace myself.
Absolutely.
Because I get the comments as well. Like, it's too fast and it's too energetic. So I need to pace myself as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that, Sam. I thought the story came out beautifully.
And particularly, as I think you, quite rightly, it's the start of the story. So it's, even if he's done some preamble, which he did, this is the moment. This is his moment.
Yeah.
And he's kind of centre stage now. And I liked the fact that you put some, some little humanisation in there. Mm. You put a little laughter in there.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because it's not just a story. It's playing it to the crowd in the kitchen.
Exactly.
Yes, yes, yes.
So yes, even within the context of the story. So actually, it's actually why I bought it today, because it's I have to say my accent isn't the best, but within the context of an audiobook,
yes,
it this moment kind of works quite well.
Go on, show us what you did.
I'll show you what I did. Okay, then. There was a farmer who had a boggart in his barn. As boggarts go, this one was fairly old and liked the quiet life, so as long as the farmer left some food, the old creature didn't see the need to cause too much trouble. Occasionally it would chase the chickens out of the coop or move all the tools and hide them amongst the corn. It was still a boggart, after all, and they do like to play tricks. Now, the farmer had a daughter who was beautiful and liked to play tricks almost as much as the boggart.
Well, I really want to know what the daughter did now. I love that. Yeah, absolutely. It made perfect sense to what you were saying. Yeah. And I could see the fable teller telling the story.
Yeah.
And it was a guy as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not that matters too much within the context of an audiobook, but he is... Mm-hmm. A kind of, you know, he's a worker at the house.
Oh, yeah. Would it change the way you tell it if it would have been a woman?
Yes, I probably would. It would have, even if I'd chosen the same accent, I'd have probably had there was a farmer who had a boggart in his barn.
So much lighter.
I'd have probably been a bit lighter.
Yeah. A bit lighter, yeah.
And I'd have been a lighter woman altogether. But, because he's the love interest as well. It's all very complicated.
Sounds fascinating.
And then the boggart comes in for the triangle, the love triangle.
Can you imagine?
No, that's just in the story.
Well, I never know.
They don't have any shadows, boggarts. Oh. That's what gives them away, you know. You look for them. If your person hasn't got a shadow, it's probably likely a boggart.
Play How Do You Say That?
Well, it's worthwhile remembering these are real scripts we've been working on, but we've changed some names and some details to avoid copyright issues. And while we're on the subject of those scripts, you can find both of the ones we're using today in the show notes of this episode.
Absolutely, you can. Now, Loic, let's have a look at your script. Mm. Your script is probably the shortest we've ever had on the podcast, actually. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about it.
So you guys asked for a 30-second script. And funnily enough, this was used on a 30-second video.
Okay.
A friend of mine has a studio in Brussels, and he went to the Creative Awards a couple of weeks ago, so which is like the awards for the ad agencies and creative work. And he knows his brother, or he has a friend that works for one of these like big media buying companies, and they buy ad space on Meta, so Facebook, Instagram, and on TikTok. And so they've got a lot of money to spend, and so they did some A-B testing. They took one of their best ads and then tested it at the same time, a 30-second video of a cow chewing grass.
Yeah.
What turns out is that the retention rate of the cow chewing grass is way better.
God, it says a lot, doesn't it?
Wow.
Than any ad. And so what he did was he printed T-shirts that said... a 30-second video of a cow chewing grass outperforms 50% of ads online. And then, so he wore that to the award show, and he passed them out. He had like 50 T-shirts that he gave away. And then the next day, he started targeting people online with the video that we made.
And I've seen the video, but...
Oh, have
but,
you? Oh, you
but
know
no,
how it sounds
listen,
then.
I don't know how it sounds because it was on mute. And I watched the cow chewing the grass, but I didn't have the sound on.
So it did work. So what happens is the cow's just chewing grass, and you hear the field, and you hear some flies, and you hear the and then it's this, and we did it, I think we did 10 different styles, just because you can do so much with this.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to bring it, because it really forces you to think like, okay, but where is the humor in the script? What's the timing going to be like?
Yeah.
The timing's going to be difficult now for us because we don't have the cow.
We don't actually have the cow in the studio with us.
But still, even if you record on silence, this is a very funny script.
Get back, Daisy.
Yes, absolutely.
Sam, I'm going to let you go first on this because Loic is right. There are a multitude of different ways you could perform this.
Okay, so I'm going to imagine this cow chewing grass interminably for 25 seconds before. No, I'm not. I'm just going to imagine it. Okay. This is a cow chewing grass. This outperforms 50% of ads online. If you think this cow outperformed your ad, get in touch. We hear different.
Oh, I love that. The simple pregnant pause between cow and chewing grass had me hanging on your every word.
Yeah.
Literally.
You made it very human. You made it a lot more human than maybe what I did, which was really nice.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You were very
much
like...
That's really interesting. Yeah. Okay.
It was almost as if I was standing next to you and you showed me a really big painting in your house of like this.
Yeah. Okay.
I really enjoyed it.
I know what you mean.
I approached it thinking, I want to sound as though I'm almost as surprised, or I've only just been told this amazing fact.
Oh, yeah.
So that's sort of how I approached it. But once again, this is one of those fascinating ones where it looks simple on the face of it.
But it's not.
But my suspicion is we'll all bring something ridiculously different. And you managed to get 10 very different takes out of it.
That's
incredible. More amazing.
Absolutely.
And so we did it over 3 recording sessions, and I did them for free, by the way, just because he's a good friend of mine.
I'm a bit banjaxed by this.
Oh, I love that word, banjaxed. If this cow has banjaxed your
Okay. I'm going to have a go at something. I'm not entirely sure what's going to come out now. All right. This is a cow chewing grass. This outperforms 50% of ads online. If you think this cow outperformed your ad, get in touch. We hear different.
Interesting.
Okay.
It was, interestingly, it was swifter, but in terms of the pauses, it wasn't dissimilar to the rhythm of mine.
Yep. It was maybe a bit more dynamic in tone well.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot more dynamic in tone, absolutely.
Especially the second line.
Yeah, I was trying to, I was trying to get to the point that I was incredulous of what this was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
How did it feel to you?
To me?
I think it came out
as soon as I got incredulous in my head. I think that came out relatively the way that I thought it would.
So this is my suggestion. Because it's quite a swift script, should we both do it again but try something different?
Do you know what? We've had a couple of emails from listeners recently saying it would be really interesting to hear you do a second take of it after the comments. Yeah, why not? Why not? Because it is a quick one. Ooh, okay. But I guess completely differently to the way we've done it already, Loic. Is that kind of what we're thinking?
Yeah. Just do it the complete opposite. So you said like in your, Mark, in your take, you were like incredulous.
Yeah. And fast.
What if you just turn that around?
Yeah, okay. All right then. This is a cow chewing grass. This outperforms 50% of ads online. If you think this cow outperformed your ad, get in touch. We hear different.
So that was more knowing, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Again, totally different.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
And more factual. Ooh. More just
facts. Yeah, a lot more factual. Yeah. It was a lot less dynamic as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely, more matter of fact. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that one. That was pretty close to what I did.
Oh,
actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's funny to see how like from the same script, like everyone still comes from it at a different angle.
Totally.
Like, I might do it like this. Yeah. I'll try this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a cow chewing grass. Now this outperforms 50% of ads online. So. If you think this cow outperformed your ad, get in touch. We hear different.
I like it. I like
that one.
Yes.
I was actually laughing in the beginning because I thought like you were having a laugh and then you started.
Absolutely.
And I was
it's like, oh, this is what she's doing. And so different, Loic, so different.
I like that one. I liked all of them, to be honest, yeah. And that's the thing, since it's such a short script and the video is like just a cow chewing grass, you can go in so many directions, yeah.
Did you only go with one in the end, or did you go with all 10 iterations?
No, we only went with one because we were really looking at what's going to be the funniest, what's going to be the stay in people's heads the longest.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we only ended up going with one. Yeah.
And are you going to give us the one that you ended with?
Yeah, I will. And I'll tell you a bit about my thought process behind it, or our thought process. So you see the cow chewing grass, and it's visually, it's a bit boring. You think there might be something coming, but the image, the video stays the same.
And it's also a delightful brown cow. She is lovely.
Yeah. And we wanted to kind of make it very obvious, very like, I'm this cool guy just saying something. Because we started with more of a like a David Attenborough style.
Yeah.
And then we said, no, let's change it back to something that's a lot cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To these people who are all in the advertising business.
Yeah.
And then kind of like just a couple of words being this, that comes back a couple of times, just like really highlight those. And then We Hear Different is the name of the studio. But so I did it like this. This is a cow chewing grass. This outperforms 50% of ads online. If you think this cow outperformed your ad, get in touch. We Hear Different.
It's quite a matter of fact read, but I get what you were doing there. Yeah.
It did have a commercial feel to it actually, which worked really well.
Just for like people like, why am I looking at this cow? And then the thing is, there was a lot of silence, a lot of like space between the lines.
In between that, yeah.
So every time you think like, am I just going to swipe it away? The next line comes. So that was where it really worked. Yeah.
Again, it's fascinating how, because I was thinking that if you took all 10 ones, and every time somebody saw that ad, they wouldn't.
That's true. Then they would stay.
Well, that would be a different one.
Yes. Yeah. Quite.
Wow, we could have done that. Yeah.
No, much more complicated, quite frankly.
Complicated in the ad spend as well. Yeah, very much so.
Complicated in the ad spend, indeed. That was such a cool thing to bring along. Thank you.
Well, now we get to mix it up a little bit, Loic. It's time for the wild card. Can you pick one of the scripts for Sam or for me and give us a new direction, new character, new something to do with it?
I think we'll do script one, Mark. I'll pick you. And I'd like you to do it in the style of Hercule Poirot. So Hercule Poirot, he's a Belgian, he's a detective, he's a bit uptight.
Yeah.
The most famous Belgian in the world, apart from you, Loic.
Oh, indeed.
He's very much, he's a bit strict.
He's arrogant as well, isn't he?
He's arrogant, really? But at times he can be a bit flamboyant as well. He's a know-it-all. But he's very reserved in his know-it-all-ness.
Yes.
And he's got a very thick French accent. So.
Well, I'll try.
I want to hear your moustache.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. Twirling. I'm already twirling the moustache. It's like...
Of course you are.
Oh, there was a farmer who had a boggart in his farm. As boggarts go, this one was fairly old. And like the quiet life. Yes, you see. As long as the farmer left some food, the old creature didn't see the need to cause too much trouble. Occasionally, it would chase the chickens out of the coop, or move all of the tools and hide them amongst the corn. It was still a boggart, after all, and they do like to play tricks. Like you. Now... Farmer, your daughter is beautiful and likes to play tricks too. Almost as much as the boggart.
You blackguard, Poirot. How did you find out?
Well done.
That was great.
That was really good.
Really warmed into it, didn't you?
I tried to bring a little Euston off, but I don't think I quite got there. But that's who I was picturing talking to. It's the final scene, isn't it? It's where he's about to reveal who
where
the murderer is.
Together.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
I love that you did that.
Oh, that was great. Thank you, Loic. I like that. So, Sam, do you want to pick one for Loic now?
Okay, right. We're going to do script two, actually, Loic. Mm-hmm. Your script. I'd like you to be a man who finds every movement painful that he does. And so... And he every time he moves, he can't help but let out a sound, an involuntary sound.
You know what,
that
sounds a bit
pain.
Like me in everyday life.
Is it?
The joy of being in your 50s. You'll get there one day.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, absolutely. So you can be any age. You could be ancient old man, or you could just be. But
And you're giving him script two for that, Sam.
Script two. Wow.
I like that one. That's a good challenge.
You can make the most of it.
Yeah. I think I'd like him to be quite old, just because the pain also kind of doesn't allow him to move a lot or to be expressive or maybe even energetic.
Yes.
Okay, we'll give it a go. This is a cow chewing grass. This outperforms 50% of ads online. If you think this cow outperformed your ad, get in touch. We hear different. I sounded a bit constipated almost.
No, I particularly liked this cow.
Ow.
That was we could tell you were in pain. We could tell it was painful to move.
Could, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it felt a relief to get to the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, we had different times.
I must go.
I must lie down now.
My word.
What I loved about that, Loic, was those sort of humanizations were sort of peppered throughout.
Yes, absolutely.
And you never let up. That was, so it wasn't just that you were in pain when you moved, you anticipated and were in pain throughout.
Yes.
Which is right, you know.
Yeah, I mean, which is what happens with people who are in pain all the time.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes. Very much so.
Yes, it was a sort of, it was a jagged pain, but it was there all the time, low level. Oh, I liked that.
Sam, I've got one for you. I would like you to be the landlady of a quiet country pub. So not normally very many people in, not a bustling pub at all. And you're pouring a gin and tonic for a townie that you have never seen. And that makes you a bit suspicious.
So I'm a suspicious... okay. So suspicious were you in my pub?
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly
gin and right. tonic.
Gin and tonic for you, obviously, as well. You know, it's like, and I'd like you to do your script one. I think. So there's a story flow through it.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. There was a farmer who had a boggart in his barn. Yeah? This one? As boggarts go. Oh, this one was fairly old, like the quiet life double. Now, as long as the farmer left some food. Ah, the old creature didn't see the need to cause too much trouble, so occasionally it would chase the chickens out of the coop or move all the tools and hide them among the corn. Yeah, but it was still a boggart, after all. And they do like to play tricks. Now, the boggart had a daughter, Ice, who was beautiful and liked to play lemon tricks almost as much as, oh, there you are, sir, the boggart.
Bravo.
Nice. There was a real suspicion there as well as you were telling that story, because you didn't know whether you wanted ice and lemon and all that. I think that added an extra dimension to it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And because it almost sounded as if the drink you made him was called the boggart.
Yes.
It almost sounded
absolutely
like you've got a special drink in your pub called the boggart, and this one guy you don't know and don't like, and he's a bit smelly, and he asks you, well, where does the name the boggart come from? And you're like, oh, okay.
We always give the suspicious stranger the boggart drink.
Were you doing the actions of the optic and the pouring and all of that?
I was. Thinking
I can
about
tell.
It. I even bent down to get the gin and tonic from the lower shelf.
Oh.
My days of being a working in a bar.
I love it. Well, as always, we've put the scripts in the show notes. So if you want to be a boggart, you want to be a landlady, you want to be a Hercule Poirot, or you want to be a man in pain, you can have a try yourself.
You can indeed. So, Loic, tell us a little bit more. We skimmed over it at the beginning and I don't know much about. Is it Belva?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about Belva and how you got involved with
them. I'm hoping it means Belgium voice actors.
It does. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Oh, good guess, Mark. Yeah. So Belva is the Belgian part of the UVA, and the UVA is the United Voice Actors, which is kind of a global organization that wants to protect voiceovers and voice actors against the dangers of AI.
And so you've got a branch in every country. And so in the US, that's NAVA. They're quite big. They're well known. Mm-hmm. In the UK, there's not really a separate entity. There is Equities, who's helping out. Yeah. But then in Belgium, we've got Belva. So Belgium's got three official languages, but we've got four because we added English in there. And so what we're doing from our side is writing contract clauses for voiceovers in Belgium, reaching out to politicians to talk about the dangers of AI. Yeah. But it's a very difficult, not a difficult process, but it's an interesting one because, as you might know, Belgium is divided in two major languages, being Flemish in the north, where I'm from, and then French in the southern parts. And the way that voiceovers work and are approached in those two parts of the country is really different. In the Flemish side, voiceovers very often are an independent. They've got like their own company, and they invoice, and that's kind of it. There's no contracts, even for commercial work. And in the French-speaking side, they do a lot of dubbing. Yep. For films and kids' television stuff, which does not happen in the Flemish side. Sometimes for kids' movies and films, but that's not as often. And so they work a lot more as like on a contract, and some of them are full-time dubbing actors and stuff. So that's where the difficulty comes in. Mm-hmm. For Belva, being like, you want to service everyone, but you need to adapt what you're kind of bringing depending on the language that they speak.
Absolutely.
And our meetings are always 4 hours, and they're all in French. I'm not a French native. My French is okay now, but it's not always easy.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but it's given me the opportunity to stand in front of people and say, look, we're going to protect you. We're going to look at the technology, what's happening. And we've started working on a business, and I spoke about it as well at the One Voice conference this year, where we're going to protect your voice and your recordings technologically. So we're going to watermark them and fingerprint them so that, one, if it would ever be used by AI, you can track it. You can see what recording was this made from and who was supposed to protect it.
Such a clever idea. Yes.
Yeah. And then the second part is that we add data in the recordings so that if Sam would ever do an audiobook and it's online somewhere and some pirate wants to steal it and use it to create a voice clone, that there's a piece of data in there that doesn't allow him to do it technologically.
Oh, that's interesting. A bit like a PDF. Sometimes you can't just simply cut and paste a PDF.
Yeah, indeed. It's a bit more like on websites, there's a hash called robot.txt, which is a kind of file that's very short, which says to AI systems, if they want to scrape the information off of a website, and the robot.txt says, don't, you can't. And that's what we want to do with audio.
Yeah. Would that be global, or would that just be in Belgium to start with?
No. We can do that globally. No. And so that's why we're in talks with the biggest union in Belgium, or in Flanders, but in Belgium, also in the Netherlands. And I'm also reaching out to the people at Equity in the UK to
so
say,
this
like,
is
look,
a big fight back, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, it's being used less and less, if I have to say. I've had more and more clients come back and say, well, it turns out it wasn't what it was, what
sure,
they promised.
Sure, absolutely.
It to be.
I think we're all hearing a little bit of that now.
Yeah. And so what we want to say is like, look, OK, you want to use real voices. That's fine. But we need to protect ourselves.
Yep.
It's the same as if you go to a studio, you shouldn't have to ask them if they've got a fire insurance. The same way, if you go to a studio to record, you shouldn't have to ask them to protect your voice. And so it would be free for voiceovers to use, and it would be paying for studios and producers to use. So that's kind of the idea behind it.
Well, all power to your elbow, and Belva's as well, Luik. That is wonderful. Thank you so much, Luik Taylor. And a reminder that all of his details can be found in the show notes.
And of course, the scripts are there too. And so do hit the follow button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a review on Apple Podcasts.
Well, that's it for this week. Luik, I hope you've enjoyed it.
I've had so much fun. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Luik Taylor. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest, when we'll be asking, this is where we do the title of the show all together, guys, okay? We'll be asking,
how do you say that? How do you say that?